And we met on Wednesday evening, and we just had a look at Genesis 1 and the very first few verses of chapter 2. And and God said, and God spoke, and it was. And this is God's word. So we're looking this morning at Luke 4. And I'm just going to read through to verse 13. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him and said, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, for reading that. Shall we just pray before I start, just to share with you what I feel God is saying? Yeah, we just thank you for this word that Sonia brought this morning about not sipping our hearts back up. We just pray, Lord, today that we'd keep our hearts really wide open to you. We'd receive what you're trying to teach us through Scripture and what you're showing us by the power of your Spirit. And I just pray that you'd be with me. I thank you. It's by your grace that I'm stood here today. It's not because of anything of me. It's all because of you, Jesus. And I just want to say thank you for loving us in the way that you love us. And I just pray that you just equip me and just speak through my words this morning in your glorious name. Right. So here we are. We've come to this scripture, but I really want just to go back into another little bit of scripture, because Jesus is demonstrating us here in this scripture how to handle temptation and trials. He knows wilderness experience. But I want to just go back just to just a little bit of scripture at the beginning in Luke 3, where it says when Jesus had been baptized, and it says the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from the heaven, and it said, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And I feel, as I was just kind of getting ready for this talk, and this talk came to me actually at Christmas, and it'll really help you to understand what God is doing, because it really fits in what we've been speaking about in James. And so when God was speaking to me at Christmas, he was speaking about us being a ready church. And to be ready, we need to be prepared for every occasion. So if we're going into wilderness times, if we're whatever temptations we're going through, Jesus actually, through this scripture, is explaining exactly the answers and what we need to do. He gives us everything. So if you're going to write a title for this talk, I want you to write, "Draw Your Sword." And because that's what Jesus did. And so when Jesus got baptized, it was like, to me, it's like exciting. It was like the unfolding of Jesus's ministry starting. And it was like all of heaven, as I closed my eyes, it was getting excited. It was as if heaven was shouting, "Here comes my son. Here comes the saviour of the world. Here comes King of Kings. Here comes healer, deliverer. Here comes the conqueror. Here comes the glorious one, the powerful one, the wonderful one." So when Jacob just started praying today, it was like we was all shouting, "Amen, amen, amen." He was saying he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. He was saying, you know, about him being brought out of darkness into the light. He makes a way. It was like somewhere he was just shouting was Jacob. Everything of who Jesus was and is. And this is what heaven was doing. Heaven was shouting, "There's Jesus, he's coming, and he's all these going to be all these things to you," because it's personal. Jesus is always personal. And I don't know any of those things. As Jacob started praying personally, I could just kept saying as he was praying, "Amen, amen, amen, amen," to everything he was saying, because when Jacob prays, it's personal. And that's why it comes out in the way it does. And so let's look at some practical things. So it says here that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus didn't need filling. I just want you to understand this. Jesus didn't need filling with the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't need the forgiveness of sins when he got baptized. But he demonstrates something to us. He comes and stands alongside man. And he comes and demonstrates and identifies with man. And he tells us what we need. And what we need is, obviously, we have to understand that we need to repent, we need to be baptized, and we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. And so he makes this something personal here. And we understand that at salvation, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. But there's something where we need to be thirsty and hungry for more of the Holy Spirit, because he makes everything. The Holy Spirit is all these things, he's truth revealer. And he's our helper. But the Holy Spirit helps us to get lost and drenched in God's love. And in this place, we find our heart to be truly free. Because I don't think there's any other place to find this complete freedom other than to know and absolutely receive the love of God and actually feel that in your life. Because the Holy Spirit makes everything personal to us. And so here he was saying, "You need the Holy Spirit. I'm full of the Holy Spirit." He was never empty of him. "But I'm coming into the wilderness this time." Because if you don't ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life every day, when you're going through difficult trials, when you're going through difficult situations, what happens is that sometimes we get crushed and we get broken because we haven't got the guide to guide us through those situations. So I want really you to hone in. The Holy Spirit is your best friend. And a lot of times in Scripture, it starts off saying, "And they were full of the Spirit, and they were full of the Spirit, and they were full of the Spirit." Keep coming back, guys, asking the Holy Spirit to keep filling you. I understand the Holy Spirit dwells in us, but we need the Holy Spirit every day. So ask for him. Ask for him. It's really important. And so when I was just thinking the purpose of Jesus's ministry, you see, Jesus was fully man and fully God, and he was divine. But Jesus had to become a man because God was concerned about saving man. And unless Jesus was fully man, he could not have died to pay the penalty for our sin. And all of you guys know that we all needed a saviour. We all needed forgiveness of our sins. We all needed that hope and that peace in our life. And so when God, and we all need the cross, and we need the cross every day. So when Dave does this thing and he tells us, "Preach the gospel to yourself daily," we need to do that. But Jesus' purpose for coming is not that we just keep preaching the gospel to ourselves, because that will make us very shallow and very narrow. We'll preach the gospel to ourselves so we can give it away. So Jesus demonstrates something of how we should live. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and what does he do? He starts to go give it all away. That's what we have to do. We're not to preach the gospel to keep it in. We're to preach the gospel so we tell somebody else about what Jesus has done for us. And let me tell you, he's done some glorious things. Every day, I just want to encourage you, every day when you get up, ask God to give you opportunities. Ask God to put somebody alongside you that you can tell somebody about Jesus, and take the opportunities to tell somebody. Please do that. There's a dying, lost world. We've got to be ready for what God's going to do. And just telling somebody might bring somebody to church. They might, you know, salvation is coming. So, and the next thing it starts to talk about in the scripture, that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So he wasn't led by Satan. He was led by the Spirit. And so you've got to understand that. It's a really important thing. And he went into the wilderness. And I'm going to read you this scripture in Hebrews 4, verse 14. This is why he went into the wilderness. Because he was doing something for us. So Jesus didn't need to go into the wilderness to be tried and tested to see if there was something genuine about Jesus. Jesus was the genuine article. He didn't need testing. But he went there because he came to identify with us somewhere. And I'm going to tell you why in Hebrews 4, verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect, listen that carefully, every respect has been tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, Jesus went through that experience of the wilderness for me and for you. And so this thing that God was just trying to explain to me, that I really had to sit back and listen to, about him coming so very near to us. Our God is not a God that is far off. Our God is not like the other gods, the other religions that you can't get up close and personal to. Our God is near. He's with us all the time, and he's real. And he comes to identify with us through the scriptures. And he comes to identify with us through our issues and our problems. So he knows your wilderness. He knows his, well, he knows if anybody is going through that. Does anybody feel like they're going through a bit of a trial or a bit of a wilderness at the moment? Does anybody feel like that in the souls? Well, let me tell you that Jesus knows exactly where you are. And so maybe nobody else understands what you're going through, what you're going through financially, what you're going through in relationships. Maybe nobody understands that, but Jesus understands everything. And wilderness trials can be very hard. And so when we've been talking about trials, and David's been speaking about that, and Pete, I think our natural thing is that we want health and happiness and financial comfort. That is a natural thing in us, to want those things. And I believe that God wants us to be happy in those areas. But I do not believe in this prosperity gospel that some people preach. Because sometimes there's things about our health that are nothing to do with anything of something either God's revealing to us or about sin, like Job's friends say. Sometimes in health, it's just the way God has got for us. And I think of people like Dave was speaking about the other week, about Johnny Erickson. I think about Paul. I think about people here that are not well. But God can use you for his glory. So glorious. Because if you look at Paul, all he does is worship and praise his God. If you look at Johnny Erickson, she's not mourning about what happened to her. She's not blaming God for what happened to her when she dived off that cliff and she was paralyzed. She isn't blaming God. She's always praising God, always praising God. So remember that, because sometimes health, good health, doesn't always come to us. But sometimes I have to say that God does some testing in these areas with us. He sometimes tests our health, and he sometimes tests our happiness and our financial comforts, because he wants to get to the core of who we truly are. He wants to see where our happiness actually comes from. Is it found in Jesus, or is it found in creature comforts? Is it found in other things in your life? Or is it all your happiness found in Jesus? Because if it's found in Jesus, you'll be content in every situation, if it's found in Jesus. And then money's a very peculiar thing, because our finances, everything that we have, belongs to Jesus. And I don't know how many times Dave's preached it. It's not ours. So if we're holding it, it's ours, it's ours. We'll never want to give it away. We'll never want to do the thing that Scripture says to tithe. So we won't want to do that because it's ours. Well, let me tell you, Jesus, I have to say, if you're not genuine in those areas, Jesus will put you to the test along the line somewhere. He will test your genuineness. He will say, who are you really? Our health is a big one that I know for me. God has tested me through just my health not being well, and just seeing this genuine love for him, seeing if it's true and it's real, and genuine intimacy and connection. And really, I think the big thing that he does with us well is he wants to see if we really trust him. So we say that we trust him, but do we really? So when we go through trials, and when we go through those wilderness experiences, when we go through the temptation of the enemy, he wants to see what's in us, and it comes out of us. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, and we need to press into Jesus, press closer into him, and make space for him to speak, and really do this thing. Ask the Holy Spirit all the time to speak to us, to tell us areas in our lives. So if you're having difficulty with something, God wants to get to the core of it, and you need to ask God what it is. There's so many Christians never ask these questions. God, what do you want to show me? What is it about my character? What is it about some things of where I am, some things that I'm doing that you need to speak to me, that I need to come and align myself with you? And so we always have to come back to this place, because God wants to strengthen us and move us forward. And then we come to this next thing. And you see, you come in here, Jesus came to the wilderness, and there it says he was tempted by the devil. And me and Dave were speaking about this. You see, we have to know who our enemy is. If we don't know who our enemy is, we'll be in a mess. But then if we talk about the enemy too much and give him too much credit, we're going to be a mess as well. So we've seen the full extent of this. So we've seen the people who go over the top about the devil. The devil is under everything. The devil is like, you know, in a backache. It's the devil. It's like, oh, for goodness sake, get a grip of yourself. It isn't the devil. But it's like some people talk about and give the devil too much overtime, but we've got to know who he is. And so when you come, if you want to know a little bit more, read Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. So I'll just write that down if you're taking notes. So he was a fallen angel who rebelled against God, and God cast him out of the heavens and out of his presence with other fallen angels that were demons. And we were talking about this in a meeting, weren't we, Grace? About that he's not equal. It isn't a light and darkness issue. And so I want you to really, really listen up really, really carefully. He is an influencer. He is not in control of the world. God is, and he possesses it, he controls it, and he sustains it. And when God speaks, and I keep coming back to this thing, and God keeps saying this to me all the time, he erupts into it and everything changes. And over the time, when you're preparing some things, you can hear some real rubbish that people are speaking. And I've heard people say that actually, until Jesus returns again, it's the enemy who's controlling the world at the moment. I want to tell you, what a load of garbage. The enemy is not controlling the world at the moment. He is influencing the world at the moment. And that's how he comes to us. He tries to influence us. And when I was thinking about it, I was thinking, he's the biggest con artist going. And so I don't know if you've seen this advert on the telly. And it's about somebody who's... this guy goes to him and he's wanting some information about his pension. And the next thing, this sweet-talking person has got all this guy's money. And then you see this guy and he's jet-skiing in some kind of resort somewhere where this other fella has been left, you know, pensionless. He's got no pension left because this man's stolen it all. And that's what the enemy does with us. He tries to rob us and he tries to bring lies and deceive us. And he keeps people in bondages to the past, to pain, to guilt, to disbelief and confusion. And he always tries to do this thing. And this is what even what he was testing with Jesus. He was trying to see the self in us that always tries to rise up, the pride in us that always tries to rise up. But Jesus was none of those things. Nothing in him was about self and nothing in him was about pride, because he was totally sinless. He was divine. He was God. But some of these things that the enemy comes and tests us, and the biggest thing that he does, he comes to test our and influence us and tell us this thing that he did with Jesus. He gives us the if. If he says to Jesus, and if he can do it to Jesus, he can do it to us. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, and that's how he comes to us. If you are a child of God, and the thing that he tries to rob us of and influence and tries to bring lies to us is about our sonship, about who we are in Jesus Christ and how important we are to Jesus, how important we are in God's kingdom. And he comes to tell us all these lies. So we've got to go back to scripture. So if we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, and it says this, it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were a people, but now you are a God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And Joyce, I just want to tell you, you was an absolute darling. Because if you don't read these Facebook pages, you really need to. Because Joyce, last Monday, wrote this wonderful, incredible piece where she just shared her heart. It's very hard sometimes to share the very depths of us. And so Joyce just shared the depths of how she'd been brought up and how she'd not been brought up, because some of us have been very blessed with very good mothers and fathers and very good families, but some of us haven't. Some of us haven't been loved well. Some of us hasn't been nurtured. And Joyce was just explaining that on this Facebook page. And then she had this rejection, because when you've been rejected, you feel the sense and the weight of that rejection. And that is what the enemy tries to do. He tries to keep us in a bondage that we feel that he tries to tell us we've got no self-worth. He tries to tell us we're not loved. He tries to tell us we're not chosen. He tries to tell us all those things, and he tries to put, if you are a child of God, why are you doing that? But I want to tell you what Jesus did, what Joyce did. So Jesus immediately, and I'm telling you immediately, not giving it a little time, a little thought, a little ponder. Because if we give it a little time, what the enemy's saying, if we ponder it, if we analyse it, well, I'll tell you, well, you'll get taken out. Don't do that. I've spoke to you before, take every thought captive. And so Joyce will probably know the struggle that she'd maybe done that. But somehow you knew that freedom had come for her. And you knew freedom had come for her because she did what Jesus did. She drew the sword, she got hold of the word of God, and she wrote all these pieces of scripture down on this Facebook page, and she started saying, this is what the word of God says. This is what the word of God says. This is what the word of God says. And Jesus says, kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. And if you don't get, draw your sword, if you don't get the word of God into your heart, this imputed word that's in you, that God puts in you when you're saved, and you don't draw it out, read it out, let me tell you, you will be in a mess. But that's what she did. Janet prayed for her. See how the church works together. Janet prays for her, the woman who absolutely adores the word of God. Truth, truth, truth. Janet will not give you any other thing. If you've got an issue, go to Janet. She'll just give you the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. She won't tell you anything else because she's got nothing else to tell you. But she'll tell you what the scriptures say. And so for Joyce, I just knew, Joyce, praise God. The enemy, the con artist who tried to tell you those lies has gone. Let's give a bit of a applause for that. You see, so many Christians walk around very weak. Because you've got to understand, depressed, frustrated, insecure. Because you've got to understand, when you read the word of God, you're actually, I've got every ounce of power in your hands that you could ever need. And why on earth Christians do not read this book, I will never, ever, ever understand. Because it's got every ounce of power for living. It's got everything in it to strengthen you. And I just believe today there's some people with some very weak hearts in here. You feel weakened somehow. And God says your strength comes by reading the word. And so because when you don't read it, the enemy does do that thing to you. He will make you weak by saying the if to you all the time. And he will make you very weak by doubting who you are. So you will have no confidence. And what I felt in this scripture is this, that somewhere we have to stand on the promises of God's word. But this is what we have to do. We have to activate God's word. So Christians who don't activate God's word end up weak and taken out. You have to activate God's word by speaking it out, by praying it in, and by living it through. And you've got to believe what the word of God says about who you are, who Jesus is, how to live, and you've got to follow it and obey it. But we've got to activate it out somewhere. So when he comes to tell you the lies, the enemy, Jesus, through this scripture, has given you everything that you need to do. And the preciousness of God's word. So I always think, I kind of try to contemplate everything that God's word is for me and for my life. That God's word has enlightened me somewhere. It's enlightened my heart to reveal Jesus to me. It's enlightened my heart to reveal God the Father's love to me. It's enlightened my heart to know there's a bigger picture than just me and my issues. The bigger picture is salvation for the many. And so it's enlightened my heart how to live and how to think and how to feel, because sometimes we live off the wrong feelings, because the word of God tells us how we should feel. And we need to go to the word of God to run off that on a morning. It says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. God doesn't want us to be anxious. He doesn't want us to be joyless. He doesn't want us in those places. And so every day, I just know the preciousness of God's word, that is just speaking truth to me. Truth, truth. It's speaking freedom, but it's telling me how to live and tell me how to go about my life every day. And so read it. I can't express to you. Read it and let the word of God strengthen your heart and your soul. And draw your sword, because it's got all the power that you need. So I'm going to stop there. And I just had a sense that God spoke to me. And last night as I was praying, and I felt that he gave me this word. And please really hear it. Because let me tell you, we don't want, if we're a ready church, guys, we don't want the enemy to have any hold of anything in our lives. So if there's anything in a dark place, if there's anything in our thought patterns that need freeing, we need the Saviour, Jesus Christ, to come and do that. The Saviour with all the power. The Saviour who speaks all the truth of heaven to us. We need that Jesus today. And I had a sense that God was saying to me, the want to fly. So he showed me like a bird. And you have to know that it's God, because I don't know nothing about nothing. So that's all I'm saying. I know a lot about Jesus, but I don't know nothing about nothing. And so I felt like God said to me, the wings, they're like birds. Some people are like birds, and the wings have been clipped. Well, I don't know anything about birds and wings being clipped at all. So I went to go look it up, and actually, it is when, I'll read it what it says, because this is what it said. They've been, when they're clipped, they're not fully able to have this flight capacity. And birds have wings and feathers so they can fly. And because I was saying to God, is that cruel to clip a bird? And actually, when they clip a bird, I don't really know if it hurts it, but it says it makes a bird feel stressful. So when if you feel like you want to take off, because I felt that God was saying there's people in here that want to take off, but they feel like they can't just get there. They've been clipped somewhere, and I just feel like the enemy's tried to clip some people somewhere, tried to hold you back so you haven't got this flight capacity to take off. And sometimes it's just negative words from the past. And just be quiet and maybe close your eyes, because the Holy Spirit will just tell you if there's something. Like, it could be negative words that have been spoken over you over the past that are stopping you stepping into all the fullness that God wants for you. It's maybe the enemy's voice over you, making you doubt yourself and doubt your capability. It's maybe a person has done this to you, clipped your wings, or a situation that has arisen. But whatever it is, if God is saying that your wings need unclipping, the Holy Spirit will tell you today. So shall we just have a little moment? Shall we just stand, and shall we just pray? Because God wants us in full flight. He wants us full of the Holy Spirit. He wants us full of power so that we're able to activate the word of God into our lives. And so shall we just pray that God would come? Yes, Lord, we just thank you for these moments when you just come and you speak to us. We thank you for all the power that we have as your precious, precious children in your word. We have every ounce of power that we need to live this Christian life, to combat the works and the wily ways of the enemy, and to be able to stand firm, and having done all, to stand firm. And we say, Lord, we want to be a ready church. We want to be ready for all that you've got for us, and we want to be ready for all that you're going to give us to do. And we just say, we want to fly, Lord. We want to take off to those places that we're meant to go. And so we just pray, if there is any area right now that words have been spoken, or we're in a situation, or we're in just those negative places, we just pray that you would break the power of the enemy's just spoken word over people. We praise you for Joyce this morning. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for freedom. And we just thank you that if Joyce can come into the freedom and the knowledge, and that rejection could go over her life, Lord, it can happen for anybody to hear today. And so we just say, in the name of Jesus, and by your power of your spoken word, Lord, over people's lives, we just pray and we speak freedom from any of these areas in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for who you are, the Jesus of all the power in heaven. And we just pray, Jesus, come, bring freedom over people's hearts and lives. And where people are doubting their sonship, I pray today that it stops. That it absolutely stops in the name of Jesus. And I pray that people would step into and believe who they are in you, Lord. Even from this moment onwards, we pray in your holy name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You may go 5 minutes early.